Hello, Rock and Roll Rebels, and welcome to another episode of Ramble On with Rosie. We are here to discuss a topic that I end every ramble with, which is kindness. It was World Kindness Day this past week, and I thought it might be a good idea to shine the spotlight on one of the kindest individuals I have ever read about in the music industry. And that would be Joe Strummer of The Clash. Now, let me clarify here, kindness and niceness do not mean the same thing. Not in my dictionary, at least. Because Joe Strummer was not a nice guy. He was a very kind man. And I'm going to highlight some of the kindnesses and great characteristics that he lived out in his life. Not perfectly, because he's a human being, and you're never going to do everything right all the time. But Joe Strummer is a great example of a kind, responsible leader, you know, most of the time, overall, as a whole on his life. So we're going to dig into some very cool quotes and happenings in his life that show that he lived out a lot of what he said. Like I said, not all the time, because nobody's perfect. So nobody's going to do everything right 100% of the time. So I'm not saying Joe Strummer's a saint, but he's a good example, when he's at his best, of what the best of humanity can be. So, like I said, kindness and niceness aren't the same thing. Because kindness takes courage. You have to make a decision to be kind. A nice person just sort of goes along, gets along, smiles politely, and, you know, stereotypically is kind of vapid and open to be manipulated. Certainly not Joe Strummer there. So kindness is like the courage that it takes to, you know, for one, to change when you realize that you've done other people wrong. You know, when you realize you weren't kind, you go back and you make things right. You know, you go talk to the people who you let fall out of your life by your own neglect because, you know, you realize you weren't always kind and you need to go back and fix the times that you weren't if you can. And, you know, at least open communication, because sometimes, you know, you reconnect with somebody who you either kicked out of your life or let fall out of your life, and they don't care anymore, and that's fine. And sometimes they care very much. I've had both of these instances happen in my life, and if you had never reached out and talked to them, they'd have never known. They'd have continued thinking that you didn't care if they were in your life or not, and you would be missing out on a valuable friend. So there's courage in kindness, of stepping out and making the first move, and, you know, whether that's making people feel welcomed or making amends, you know, for past misdeeds. So there's a lot of personal responsibility in kindness, which leads us to our first quote by Joe, which is, "When you blame yourself, you learn from it. If you blame someone else, you don't learn nothing, because, hey, it's not your fault, it's his fault over there." And so the personal responsibility that Joe is discussing in that quote, he also lived out in his life. When The Clash fired Topper Heaton from the band, and then also later Mick Jones, it was sort of at the machinations and manipulations of Bernie Rhodes. And Joe acknowledges this, but in a very unique way, because he's like, it was my fault for not, you know, seeing what was happening and understanding what Bernie was doing. So he acknowledges that Bernie's not a good man, but he acknowledges his personal responsibility as kind of the leader of the band for not seeing through it and stopping it before it got out of hand, which is a very mature and unique way, you know, to put things. A lot of people, especially because the music industry has demonized managers, and usually with good reason, would have no problem being like, yeah, our manager screwed us over and he, you know, just talked us all into, you know, getting rid of Topper and then, you know, Mick, instead of being like, it's my fault, I didn't see that that's what he was doing. So, very mature, clear-headed way of going about life and admitting his part in the instance that occurred, because he is the one who had the conversations telling people they were sacked. So, you know, which is another thing. There's a kindness that comes with being the one to have the difficult conversations. Because, you know, a weak person doesn't want to be the one to have the ugly conversations. And so it's left to the leaders, the people who are willing to, you know, have the generosity of spirit to do the dirty job so that somebody else doesn't have to go do the job and tell them, hey, you know, you're fired. Also, to take personal responsibility afterwards and be like, maybe I didn't do right firing you. That might not have been a great decision. Like, Joe Strummer's admitted he's fired probably 40 people in his life, or had, you know, when he was alive. So he'll admit that he's done it, you know, but he also admits his mistakes. I mean, he flat out said that the Clash didn't have a good gig after Topper left. So that being, you know, the case, it's maturity and having those rough conversations and being a leader is a form of kindness. It kind of reminds me about the similarity between Joe Strummer and Joe Perry of Aerosmith, as in both of their respective bands, they are the ones that get stuck having the unpleasant conversations, and they're also the strongest characters and leaders of their bands, because he may be the front man, but Steven Tyler is not the leader of Aerosmith. And I could go on a whole rant about the dynamics in that band, but that's another episode. So moving on about Joe Strummer, kindness can also sort of be tied up in sticking up for your friends. You know, it seems pretty obvious, but, you know, you want to make sure everybody's taken care of. Like, Joe was trying to shield Topper when he was still in the Clash from, like, disrespectful questions from the media. And, you know, when Topper left, he had initially said that, you know, hey, we're just going to tell everybody, you know, you're out because of stress, and if you can get cleaned up, then we'll, you know, put you back in the band. It's just, apparently, according to Topper, Joe got drunk and spilled the actual story, which was that Topper was a heroin addict, and that's why he got kicked out of the band. So, you know, he tried at least, but alcohol made him a fool, and I'm sure he felt bad about that. But anyways, you know, so it's sticking up for your friends, and like Joe put it, the audience is our friends. So if the audience was being beat up by security, there's several stories of this with the Clash, he would stop the show until people were no longer being harmed. Unlike what happened at Astroworld this past week. Joe Strummer would not have given a insert expletive here what the, you know, sponsoring company who's streaming them live would have wanted. If people were getting hurt, he would have stopped the show then and there, streaming be damned. Because the audience was their friends. And, you know, they're what's takes care of you, and he understood that and valued that, and valued humanity and human life and being alive more than pretty much anything else. Like, you go read his quotes, and so many of them are about, like, the joy of being alive, which is something we're very much losing. We're losing our sense of humanity these days. And Joe Strummer was not about that. He was about making sure that we, you know, just how wonderful it is when you stay aware that you are alive and other people are alive, which you can't help but be kind to other people when you're like, oh, this is another living, breathing human being who, you know, maybe they're just having a bad day. Like, yeah, they burnt my food, or their delivery wasn't that great when I'm at a restaurant, but maybe they're just not well, you know, maybe I can help them out rather than just being like, well, I'll leave a negative review on Yelp and no tip. You know, the kindness of keeping your humanity alive, which isn't easy, but kindness isn't easy. Like I said at the beginning, kindness takes courage. So, yeah, I won't go on too much about the Astroworld thing, but Joe Strummer would have done differently, at least from what I've read about the incident. You know, and his kindness was also standing up for openers, because it would happen. You know, he'd be playing, and if the opener was getting booed, or, you know, like, they were shouting Strummer instead of paying attention to who was opening for them, he came out and, like, chewed their butt about it. He's like, you have to give them at least give them a chance. You know, it has to do with politeness. It's like Joe Strummer once said that punk rock means having exemplary manners towards your fellow human beings. And that kind of, I mean, it's hard to put it any better than that. You know, that is kindness when you have consideration, good manners for your fellow man. And so, like I said, Joe's just a wealth of good quotes and examples of, you know, doing it right. You know, and kindness is making people feel wanted and welcome. So it's just being intentional. Like there's a story of Joe Strummer and had met him, and you know, she was obviously acting as a fan can where she's just, you know, kind of overwhelmed and can't speak, but you know, managed to squeak out and ask him for a hug. And he just stood there and hugged her for like 5 minutes, you know, until she felt she had been hugged long enough. Now, what other famous person is going to be that considerate that they're just like, I'm going to give the biggest hug until this person feels they've been hugged sufficiently, not until I, you know, have to move on to hug the next fan or sign the next thing. You know, he was just generous, the generosity. I mean, he once gave a like I think it was like £5,000 loan to somebody he knew so they could start a club. And he never bothered them to pay him back, you know, until he needed the £5,000 himself. You know, he's sort of like, hey, you know, this is like, it's like 15 years later. He's like, you know, would you mind, you know, do you have the £5,000 to pay me back? And the guy's like, yeah, sure. You know, it's been 15 years, you know, but, you know, he didn't bother and be like, well, you know, it's a matter of principle. You should pay me back right now. It was like, okay, I'm not gonna bother you until I need this money, you know. Which is a interesting, you know, and just the generosity that he exhibited in other smaller ways. Like when he was having the campfires, because that's the thing Joe Strummer did. He'd have like these little campfire get-togethers, I think mainly in Glasgow. And, you know, he'd make sure people had sleeping bags and look out for other people, you know, sometimes bring people home with him. He even had a co-star who was with him in one of his films, and she was kind of new to England and was dating a, you know, not great guy. And so she kind of asked for some help, and he just took her in. Him and his wife just took her in to stay with them. You know, no big deal. Just not being concerned for his own, you know, not looking after himself so much as he was looking at after others more, which is just a beautiful way to live your life, you know. It's something to be aspired to, because human nature is self-survival and looking after number one being us, rather than humanity as a whole being number one and looking after your fellow man intentionally and generously, which, you know, I'm not saying Joe did it all the time, but there are examples of him doing it, which is pretty cool. And he had a, because of that, he had a reputation as an excellent host. Like, even going back to the days, I think, when they were like, when he was living in a squat, you know, in London, they would, you know, he just had a, was an excellent host. Part of that came from his upbringing as a diplomat's son, because, you know, his parents would have him come around and, like, deliver the drinks or something to the guests or, you know, refresh their, you know, glass or something like that. So he'd learned how to, you know, be a good host from a young age and carry that on even into the wildly different lifestyle that he lived, you know, as a punk rock musician rather than a diplomat's son. But he still exhibited that ability to, you know, make people feel welcomed, which sort of goes back to the intentional thing. Like, you know, if you make people feel wanted, they're going to feel welcomed. So, you know, the 5 minute hug, or there's also multiple examples of Joe giving people, like in his circle, not even like in the tightest circle, just, people in general that he was friends with, nicknames, which, sometimes they're not fun, but having a nickname does make you sort of feel like you belong. You feel welcomed because you have this, special name for with these other people. It gives you a sense of bonding. So, like, I don't know if Joe was doing all this intentionally, but he, you're like plotting this out, like, I'm gonna do this and this, or if it was just an outflow of his natural character. But it's really beautiful how he did all these things that, just sum up kindness and generosity, and it's just inspiring as heck. And so, along with that line, you've got even when he was in art school, he'd go back to his apartment and he'd have like some homeless person with him or something that he tried to install, albeit not totally generously. He did install it in like his, flatmate's room instead of his own room. But, still like taking in some random straggler off the street. His generosity in hiring a drummer on one of his later albums after The Clash, who was institutionalized in a mental hospital. And, Joe was like, okay, I'll have him driven to and from every day. I mean, most people would be like, forget that, that's too much work, I'll just go find some other drummer. But, making people feel included and wanted and part of the whole big picture rather than isolated. Because feeling isolated isn't fun. I'm sure it made that guy's day, and inspired him a lot to have somebody like Joe Strummer specifically doing all this effort just so he could be on his, CD or album rather. When he's in a mental institution, his half, I don't know the situation, but half of his family's probably written him off. So here's Joe frickin' Strummer, including him on an album that he's doing. Had to make his day a little bit, I'm sure. Inspire him that he was still wanted. And I mean, that's just the beautiful thing about kindness is, making other people feel wanted and making their day. Whether it's big or little things, whether it's, having a long conversation with a stranger just because they seem like they need to talk, or, a 5,000-pound loan, or just a smile and a wave to somebody in the grocery store. Like, there's so many ways to be kind, and the world would be a little less dark if we all, sort of went into that. It's like Joe said, he's sort of like, if you're in a bad mood and you think, hey, wait a minute, we're alive. We don't know what the next second will bring, and what a fantastic thing this is. That can be easily forgotten in the rush of life, and that's something I'm trying to bring to my attention at all times. Don't forget, you're alive. We're not dead, This is the greatest thing. And so if you're going around being happy that you're alive and thinking about everything else, everybody else being alive, it can't. How could you possibly be cruel to other people? It's just an inspiration, to walk around that way thinking, oh, wow, I could make somebody's day by doing this or that. And so it's his gen back to Joe Strummer's generosity, He, like I said, at the campfires, he would, make sure people had sleeping bags. But all the way back to when he was in the 101ers before the Clash, he would busk to make sure the people who lived in the squat that he lived in would have enough food and provide free community entertainment. That's sort of what the 101ers were that particular, squat apartment thing that they were all hanging out in. They were the community entertainment. And so he, but he would go out and busk in the streets of London just to get money to bring home to, his friends in this commune type situation to buy groceries. And from the quotes and the way that Joe was living his life, you don't really get the vibe that he was making sure that, well, like, the other person didn't go out and make any, money. Why am I the only one buying groceries? 'Cause I'm over here, and I'm not saying that, as a political institution, socialism is a good idea. But I am saying that if we all as individuals looked at the rest of humanity like that, it couldn't be a bad thing. I mean, how could it be bad if you're just going around being kind to other people at, minimal expense to yourself rather than constantly tallying and making sure everything is just so and that you're not, being taken advantage of? Like, obviously, don't let yourself get hurt, but don't hurt other people looking out for yourself either. And, that's what he did. He looked out for others so much, like audience members at Clash concerts, especially in the early days, before they got to the big arena level where you couldn't, interact, which that alone bugged Joe. That's part of the reason why success felt overwhelming to him was, they had gotten to a level where they were no longer really participating with the audience as much. It was a big arena rather than, back in the day where they had, I think it was a gig in Seattle where Duff McKagan was at and security had been being rough with the audience, and Paul Simonon hacked down the barrier and they invited the audience onto the stage with them because, to quote them, "There's no difference between you and me. We're all the same." That attitude. And he carried that out not just in word, but in deed, because he'd pay for kids in the audience to, or he would, buy them some drinks, just treat them the same. Which is a huge act of generosity and kindness to just be like, I don't care. Society may think this is weird, but I just 'cause I'm in a band doesn't make me better than you. Which a lot of artists have that attitude, Not all of them, but quite a few. They come off that way where I'm elite because I am famous. And that was not, an attitude that came from Joe Strummer, like, at all, or any of the Clash. Like I said, it was Paul Simonon who hacked down the barrier, and you see Mick Jones in interviews, like, none of them have any sort of pretentious attitude about them. They were about music and about, freeing people from the kind of mindsets that they had been put into. Like, I absolutely love their song Lost in the Supermarket, and it's just as relevant today as it was when London Calling came out in, what was it, like 1979? I can't remember exactly what year London Calling came out. But, like I was saying, it's just the relevance of the music and the attitude of kindness that they displayed, especially Joe, is, breathtaking and inspiring. And what he said about punk rock being exemplary manners to your fellow human being is absolutely true, and not totally exclusive to him, because there are stories of Joey Ramone acting out a lot of these things too, just having a very generous spirit, like Joe did. Which is super, super inspiring, and I thought very appropriate to discuss, given it was World Kindness Day, and I can't think of a artist with more stories of their kindness attached to them, other than maybe Elvis Presley, because Elvis was extremely generous too. I guess that would be the trinity of generous, kind musicians. Would be like Elvis Presley, Joe Strummer, and Joey Ramone. And the latter two would very much be appreciate being put in the same sentence with one of their heroes. So that they, punk rock was about reviving the spirit of rock and roll, and part of that was the kindness and the generosity and the humility that prior artists of the earlier generation of rock music had had. It wasn't about being, as much as I love them, it wasn't about being Led Zeppelin. It was about, connecting with your audience as just a musician, but the same as your audience, you know, not putting yourself up on a pedestal and, you know, acting like you're better than everybody else, which, contrary to the bad rap they get, Led Zeppelin had some great moments of humanity too. Like, one of the roadies was a girl had gotten up on stage to kiss Jimmy Page, a move I can totally relate to, and security and, like, the roadies were treating her way too roughly, and Robert Plant went over and beat up his own road crew to save this girl, and I'm like, that's some kindness, that's a great example of kindness too. Also, I mean, who doesn't, like, that girl had the best day. I mean, she may have gotten beat up, but I'm like, she kissed Jimmy Page and was rescued by Robert Plant. That's a pretty good day. You know, and they, I mean, they were playing such huge arenas, but they did go back and have, like, their small sort of bar, pub kind of tour at very small venues, charging, like, the very affordable prices, you know, to sort of prove that, hey, we still care about where we came from. And even, you know, when they were playing the big arenas, I think some girl randomly got up on stage and Robert Plant just danced with her. So, like, while they get pit all the negatives of having an excessively successful rock band tend to get pinned to Led Zeppelin, at their hearts, they were some pretty kind guys, too. Just when you're playing to record-breaking audiences, you can't participate with them quite as much as you otherwise would be if you were just playing in a pub band. Hence why, like what I said with Joe Strummer, the large audiences kind of freaked him out when he got that successful, because he's like, the audience, I've become everything that I set out to destroy. I've become the overburdened large rock star playing arenas, and the ability to participate with the audience and buy them some drinks and make sure they get cab rides home was gone. You couldn't have that connection when you're playing to 50,000 people. So, like I said, Led Zeppelin's kinder than they get credit for. But Joe Strummer is like kindness itself. And that's been my take for this week for World Kindness Day, which was last week. Totally shows where my priorities were. I went and did the episode about Led Zeppelin's untitled album last week rather than about the upcoming World Kindness Day. But if you ask me, every day should be World Kindness Day, you know, because the world would be a much better place if we were all kind to each other rather than looking for reasons to judge and disregard others, rather than, like Joe talks about, just being alive, and being alive is great. And, you know, if you're thinking about how you're alive and everybody else is alive and we're all alive at the same time, then how can you help but try to, you know, make life better for everybody around you? Because the upside of that is you also end up making life better for yourself, because it gives you joy to treat others well. It makes you, you know, happy to do nice things. You know, smiles are kind of contagious. If you do something that makes somebody else smile, you'll end up smiling in return because of their smile, if nothing else. So, on that note, I will quote my favorite live-action Disney film and tell y'all to have courage and be kind. And I will see y'all next week with some more fun facts about rock and roll. In the meantime, have a great week and rock on.